message.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you. Good to be with you again. What a lovely crowd. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Lord Hoss might be glad. I shall enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen. And we come saved and touched. I have a wee announcement to make. First of all, I want to put an apology before it. I haven't got round everybody I should. So I don't want anyone to feel offended at all who's in the position. But I have in my life such a passion that the days that I have will be for His glory. And I have a passion for two things as I go round and see chapels waning. You say to a brother, how's your chapel going? It usually is. It's going. Until it's gone. And I have a burden about that. Tremendous burden. You're fortunate here, but across America, across Britain, it's amazing the places that used to be big are now almost closing the door. Some have closed the door. And God has given me a great passion in my heart to do two things. One is to establish, re-establish the preaching of the gospel. We don't see people saved. You know, there was a group in America, I forget their name, but they didn't believe in reproduction. Well, they died out. If you don't reproduce. And you know what? Some assemblies and churches have been, I've been practicing using the contraceptive pill long before now because they've died out. You don't have new people coming in, die out. And I have a passion for that. And the second thing is along that, as I look back in my life, I say to Margaret, why when some have gone sad have I stayed bright and I'm as excited today as the day I got saved? The only conclusion I could come to was that when we were crusading, we prayed before the meeting, we prayed after the meeting, if we had to, we prayed in the morning, and we prayed every time because when you got up to preach, you knew it had to be God that worked. And men would gather together for prayer, wherever city we were, we one thing and we had prayer meetings all the time. And God was blessing. And so I have a burden for prayer. I was telling folks in Philadelphia, I want to see prayer meetings from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh established for the cry of God. And for that, just before I left, I threw in a VHS tape of Pastor Jim Cimbala of the Brooklyn Tabernacle on prayer. I've shown it to one or two people. I've been amazed. It's been almost been one word when I've asked them, what do you think of it? One was powerful. The other was two words, life-changing. And the third one was, now, I read that book on how to improve my memory. I've just forgotten what was in it, you know. Dynamic. That's the three words. So, I've asked permission, and as again, I apologize. I haven't got around all those. I should have. The time is short, but we need to announce it tonight. But I hope, if everything goes well, we'll show it on the big screen on Thursday night. I'm going to tell you, you tell your friends to come. You tell them to come. Don't miss this. I'll guarantee, don't miss it. Your life will be touched. Your life will be touched. Your daughter left home, prayed her back, but I'm not going to tell you anymore. But I'll tell you what, I'm very sure of this. You will say to me after John, thank you for showing that in our chapel. And if we grasp what he's saying, I'm going to tell you, you'll need to build an extension to your chapel or have two gospel meetings in an evening to get all the people in because it's powerful. That's on Thursday night. And Morris has a tape of the moment. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the power that he gives us. We thank you for the things he gives us. And, O Lord, we do pray that we may be challenged by what God has given us in Christ, that we might be excited and blessed by it all. Touch our hearts tonight, O Father. Cause us to not only hear the gospel, but to be broken and touched by it and to pray. And, O Father, to wait upon you for the souls of others. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like you to turn with me back to that text. We were read last week in the first chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. One of the things as you're looking it up that I have noticed as I've gone to prayer meetings in many places is that I have met hurting families. And one of the things that has staggered me is we never pray for each other or our children in the prayer meeting. Now, when I say never, I'm talking this broad spectrum of what I, where I visit, where I've heard. And that has troubled me. And I mentioned it to my brethren. I said, where can we come to share our burden but with God's people? Where can we pray for our children but among each other and pray as the devil is seeking to get them? Where can we pray? And so that's been one of my burdens as well in these days. So I keep busy abounding. You know, where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. We'll just read the verse tonight. Verse 18, remember Paul said, for the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I'd also like to mention Romans 1 and 16, that great verse, where Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, the dynamics of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What is truth? My dear friend, we live in a day when truth is twisted. It is presented the way the media wishes to present it. It is told the way the liberal wants to present it. And so from even the gospel has been watered down and how things are told. I read a story that was quite interesting to me. And it was a story was indeed of a preacher who was getting up to preach. And just as he got up to preach, a lady put a piece of paper in his hand and said, will you read that? So he got up, and in his hurry to get through the service, the message actually was this. It read, Bill Adams, I was going to say Grayling Pindle, but it wasn't Grayling, I assure you. Bill Adams, having gone to sea, his wife desires the congregation to pray for his safety. Well, the preacher got up, and he was in such a hurry and wasn't terribly interested in the notice, and he read it this way. Bill Adams, having gone to see his wife, desires prayers from the congregation for his safety. Well, how was it told? It's how you tell it, isn't it? And I was going to use Grayling's name, but I knew what a nice person Susan was, so he wasn't in any difficulty at all. Yes, isn't it? We begin to see how is it told, how is it interpreted, and how is the gospel interpreted. And if we begin and we look at this great message of the gospel, our hearts again are moved as we see the wonderful thing. Last week we saw that the cross, indeed, where God Christ died, was indeed a place and a word where we can have life through his death. We're made alive. Born again of the Spirit of God, born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine, and the transaction so greatly was made. When as a sinner I came, took of the offer, of grace he did proffer, he saved me. Oh, praise his name, dear name. Heaven came down. Oh, my dear friends, isn't that true? It was the great C.S. Spurgeon, the great preacher in London, who said these words. He said, a little faith will take a soul to heaven. Much faith will bring heaven to the soul. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. We were cleansed from our sin by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Word of God, and right through the whole Old Testament, pointing out to the New, with pointing on the sacrificial perfect Lamb without spot, without blemish, until John the Baptist sees Jesus coming down the side of the Jordan. Can you imagine? You can almost feel His pulse rate getting higher and faster. You can almost feel His heart having palpitations. He's gazing upon the conclusion of His own ministry. He was here, what? That the valley might be raised up, that the mountains might be made low at the presence as He proclaimed the way of the Lord. And He looks up and He sees the Lord Jesus coming down the side of the Jordan, and He says, "Behold, look, gaze at the Lamb of God." Here it is, folks. Here's God's promise. Behold the Lamb of God that bears or takes away the sin of the world. And you can almost feel, I enter these chapters and I read them and I feel the adrenaline of the of John the Baptist there. Meant a conclusion to His ministry, but it meant redemption and salvation for a lost world. The Lamb of God, and through His death we have life and we are cleansed, as that blood was shed, that blood was spilt, the blood sacrifice signifying His death. When it comes to the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, the one who had no sin, the Lord Jesus, when it comes to that, it says that we are made clean through the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, my dear friends, we are so thrilled to know that we are cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. We were singing at the end of the prayer meeting tonight. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. If there wasn't, my friend, I would be trying to encourage you just to get on through life and look in the mirror with Dr. Schuller and hope that you were such a wonderful person you could carry yourself through the world. You know that. I don't know if he does that every morning. You know, look in positive thinking. You know, just look in the mirror and say, "My, I'm that wonderful." My friend, I, you know what? When I look in the mirror in the morning, I think of that old hymn, "Not have I gotten, but what I received, grace has bestowed it since I believe, boasting excluded, pride I abased. We're only poor sinners saved by matchless, wondrous grace." And grace, what is it? Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And what a price was paid that you and I might be recipients of the grace of God. And the hymn writer, getting excited about it, picks up his pen and writes, "Wonderful grace of Jesus. Greater than all my sin. How can my tongue describe it? Where shall my praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me." Our Kenny, whom you know, his wife had a child. She'd been married before and she had a child 2 years after her marriage, and when she had it, her husband left her. Little boy. Kenny met them when he was 3. Didn't know the name of Jesus or anything. Imagine he came in touch with our family. We bought him all the stuff. He did do it. You know, you can hide. How many have said, I came into a meeting and I found a corner I could hide in and the preacher couldn't see me or couldn't identify me. Ah, but the Spirit of God saw you and identified you and came right to that seat and said, you need Christ.
You need the cross in your life. You need cleansing. You need His salvation to change your life.
And sitting there, the Spirit of God comes to your heart and touches you, and the precious blood of Jesus Christ has made atonement for the soul. And you know, my dear friend, we saw that the word of forgiveness through faith, and we know forgiveness is one of the greatest things. I told you that one of the greatest problems that has been reported among psychiatrists in America is this, that is the problem of guilt. People feel guilty. We live in a generation where parents are stressed out because they feel guilty that they don't pay enough attention to their children. And they're stretched out, you know. Mom has a wee sign on her car, Mom's Taxi, and she's running from this ball game to that ball game. No wonder they don't have big families anymore. There's not enough of Mom to stretch to every game and gymnasium and school in the community. And Mom is frazzled, and there's a guilt. My daddy never even showed me a ball, never mind played ball with me. You know, I didn't turn out too bad. See, when you get to the cross, you know, when somebody belly aches to me and says, hey, even you, and you get it among Christians, and waking up Christians, you know, we get among Christians, oh, you know, my dad didn't play games. I'm like this because my dad, no, you're miserable because you want to be miserable. You know, my friend, when God saved me, He made me a new creature. And if you're a new creature and you're miserable, that's your fault because God made you a new creature. What do we used to sing with the chisel? The past is forgiven. From sin I am free. A mansion in heaven is waiting for me. Amen? You know the great regret I have about my dad? That he hadn't enjoyed the life that I've enjoyed. That he never met the wonderful people that I've met. That he never enjoyed the company of people like you. That he never had the friends that I've got. Because of the bonds of Calvin. Oh yes, regret. That's the only regret. Otherwise, I'm thankful that God has changed me by His power. So here we come with this message that first of all reveals to us our need. And that we're needy people and we live in a day where we don't like to feel that. We're sufficient. Man has reached 21. We're of age. We can determine our own destination. Well, that's true. The tragedy is not heaven in many cases. And so we find when the gospel is preached, the response to it, you remember in Acts, they said of the preachers, they're drunk. Won't say too much about that. We'll see more of that later in the week. And the other said, what does this mean? It means that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It means that God sent His Son to a cross because He wanted you in heaven and not in hell. It was not God's pleasure to put you there. It was His choice for you to be in heaven. And so when this message is preached, what did Paul says? For the preaching of the cross is to them who are perishing. They have no hope, no eternal destination. To the preaching of the cross is to them who are perishing foolishness. We had a fellow in Scotland, I've told you about him before, but Duncan Donaldson was a character. You young folk, if you had met Duncan, he was something else. It took 6 policemen to take him in on a Friday night when he got drunk. He was as strong. Oh. When he did a youth meeting and any young fellas tried to get, you know how they get smart and they, you know, they wanted to disrupt the meeting. Old Duncan used to put his hand in his pocket and take out a 6-inch nail and look at them and bend it in his teeth. And they shut up for the rest of the meeting. They never said another word. When Duncan got saved, you know, when he used to go home drunk, the first thing he went in the door was he kicked the dog. When he got saved, he went home and petted it, and the dog bit him. He'd never seen a saved master before. He didn't know what love from this man was. Duncan would come in drunk and kick the... Duncan came home one day, and his wife said, "You know, Duncan, Mrs. So-and-so at number 49 down the road thinks you've gone mad." "Oh, does she? I'll just go down and see her." And off Duncan went, and he knocked on the door. "Show him the door." Well, she got a fright, because Duncan was a man that was known that if he grabbed you, it was all over. "I've come down to ask you a question." "Oh, what's that, Duncan?" If I'm crazy now, what was I before?" My friend, the world says, when God gives you a new life through the death of Christ, and he makes you clean through the blood of Christ, and when he comes and he forgives you through simple faith in Christ, the world says, "What a load of garbage." I'm reminded of old Duncan McNeil, the Scottish evangelist. We hymn, he used to sing, "Some people do say we're nothing but fools. Salvation is only a sham, but we know they are wrong. So we just march along, singing, 'Washed in the blood of the Lamb.'" Amen? I know they're wrong. I know they're wrong. I don't know them wrong because I can scientifically prove anything. I know they're wrong because I felt the touch of God upon my life. And I told you before, when Jesus Christ touches you, really touches you, you are changed. You cannot be touched by him without being changed. Oh, I know there are folks who make a superficial conversion. I was just relating to someone the other day about Mr. Moody's famous one. You remember the man in the gutter drunk? And the man said to him, "Mr. Moody," he said, "that's one of your converts." Old Moody said, "I believe you're right. If he was God's, he wouldn't be in that mess." You see, my friend, God makes new creatures out of people. I know people that make professions, but don't make possessions. But my friend, if the touch of Jesus Christ is real upon your life, there is a change comes with his touch. There was an old fella, Cameron, in our home city of Aberdeen. Some of his relatives used to dance on the PTL program there when it was there, the Cameron family. And I remember coming down, we had these old Scottish tenement houses, which were fabulous for preaching the gospel because it was like an amphitheater, you know, it carried your voice. One day I'd parked the car and I heard this, "Just as I am," and beautiful singing. And I came around the corner. There was one of their relatives who would have drunk anything. And he's standing in the gutter singing, "Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." His theology was right, but his experience was all wrong. My dear friend, I said, don't go. Don't go, my dear friend, for the profession. Go for the possession. Let Christ change you and make you a new creature. Now, let me tell you this. It may mean totally new friends. I found that when God saved me, it meant totally new friends. Friends that would encourage me on the road to heaven. And you know what he says? He says, they say it's foolishness. Why do they say it's foolishness? What is there so powerful about this gospel that it challenges the hearts of men when it's preached? One, it tells us that we are sinful because it reveals the heart of man. It's all of sin. We want it our own way. We come short of God's standard. And we discover that it reveals the heart of man, and the heart of man is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked, and who can know it? And when this old gospel comes along and is preached, it's received like clay and snow on a hot day. Clay hardens and snow melts. Ice melts. Thank God there are those who hear it and say, that's me. I'm a sinner. And there are those who said, what rubbish is this? I can control my own destiny. And under the heat of God's love, they harden their hearts and miss God's blessing. It shows, my dear friend, it reveals the heart of man sinful. It reveals the nature of man rebellious. Man's a rebel. I want to do my own thing. How many of you had to teach your kids to say no? It's when they get teenagers you have to teach them to say no, isn't it? No to drugs, to drink. You know, I couldn't prove. I know somebody's going to shoot me down in flames here, but I've been through so many wars, I can take it. You know what? I can't prove abstinence from the scripture by practicing. Because I don't want any young man ever to see John Coons putting a false spirit to his mouth when I've got 100% spirit in my life. Amen? And I'll tell you what, my friend, let me tell you this. We're worried about drugs, but drink was a greater problem before drugs came along, and it's still there. It's just be overshadowed by drugs, but drink and alcohol is still the problem. We say, I can control my destiny. I can take what I want. Well, sure you can. But it'll also do to your life what you don't want. You've lived in this island, and I've lived on the east coast of Scotland and in America, but particularly in small communities. And you know what, my friend? The saddest thing is to watch able, healthy, young men slowly killing. It's a choice. I know that the power comes in, and we must pray for them, because never forget, my friend, that Christ breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, said the Lord Jesus, for he hath anointed me to preach the good news, the thought of liberty to the captives. I've come to set the prisoners free. That's why it's a wonderful message, and the devil says, shh, keep it under wraps. Keep it under the colors. Stop telling the folks who need to get saved. We don't want them to hear that. And you know, my dear friends, let me say this. It reveals the nature of man. It's rebellious. And it reveals the destiny of man. For it says that we're here very clearly. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing. Foolishness. Giving your life to Christ. what does that mean? What does that do? Well, I'll tell you what, my friend. That wouldn't change the way I've lived over the last 40-odd years. To give my mother and father a new son. In 30 seconds, God did what no psychiatrist or any other person in this world could do. Take a rebel, sinful son and save him. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up tonight, but wouldn't you like that to happen to your son if that's the case? Well, pray on, because Jesus is in the business of changing people. Amen? It reveals the destiny of man. We're perishing. We're lost. You see, my dear friends, when you come over to the Gospel of John, we read about the God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, he should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believeth not, he that believeth is not condemned. That's what it says. I got John 3:17 or 18:17. But he that believeth not is condemned when? Already. You know, my friend, you don't have to wait for the judgment day for condemnation. You're condemned already. The sentence is passed. It's there. And that's why Jesus came. And you're in a lost condition. Heading to the wrong place. Not knowing how to live or how to conduct things. Well, can you imagine a father in that state? Now that father gets saved. He goes back into that family and he puts that family together and makes Christ the head of the home. Do you know what a difference a saved father is in a family? Oh, you dads, you still stand up. I tell my boys, I said, you know, they don't always do everything I want to do. Well, that's original sin, isn't it? And I give it to them. But I tell you, I said to them, and they're loving to Margaret and I, or they, Wee Kenny, we call him Wee Kenny, he's taller than me now. He phones me every day. Sometimes twice a day, helps me in a great way. And the other two as well, they just come. And you know, they don't always do what you want, but I look at them and I say, no, boys, will you just remember, as long as your daddy's alive, I'm the high priest of this family. And I said, I won't butt heads with you, but I'll tell you what God saved. Oh, go in, fathers, and take a stand. How many of the mothers have been the force in the family? Now I must bring it all together. The word of the cross reveals our sinfulness, our rebellion, our destiny. I love preaching in the fishing areas. Maybe I was brought up among the fishermen. Love these old Sankey's redemption songs, aren't they lovely? O turn while the Saviour in mercy is pleading, and steer for the harbour light. But how do you know that your soul can be drifting over the dead light of night? We stood in Peter Head in the harbour and looked out within sight of the harbour. You know what it means, you fishermen. We saw the boat sink. With all life lost, you know what it means. That goes to your heart, doesn't it? You're standing on the shore. And the boat goes down. Aberdeen's a big city now, and many of the oil platform ships go out and in. When I first got saved, I never understood that old hymn, "Brightly Beams Our Father's Mercy." And one day I was down at the harbour, and I saw Aberdeen's harbour comes fresh water, and then it's seawater, and they've got what they call the harbour bar, and you fishermen will know that that's where the fresh water meets the salt water. And a boat can be sailing along nicely, and then it hits the harbour bar, and it'll disappear down into a dip, and out into the bay. But the narrowness of the channel that takes them into the safety of the harbour, on one side the harbour goes right out, and on the other, and standing there on the street, there's a big pole with a light on the other end. And out on the breakwater, there's another pole with another light. And you fishermen know this, don't you? And these boys would come into the bay from the North Sea when the gales were blowing. And they would look to see these lights in line, and when these lights were in line, the stair went up the channel, came out of them, the roughness of the North Sea, into the safety of the harbour. Ah, dear friends, let me tell you, there's many a chapel that the lower lights have gone out. Said the glebe across the brave, some poor sinking, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. And to the non-nautical, these are just words, but to the nautical, they reveal the importance of it all. And my dear, when the gospel light goes out, my friend, what does Paul say? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Can you imagine if these lights went out? They would never find the channel. They'd be in the rocks, the cliffs, just at Aberdeen there. They'd be at the cliffs. You should see these cliffs. But the light takes them into the safe. My dear friend, I come to you tonight, and I ask you, have you come into the safety of the haven of rest? Remember one night we were over at the Current with the choir, coming across in the ferry, and the water was still. It was a beautiful night, and it was still. We began to sing. My soul, no dear friends, I've entered the haven of rest. My friend, when you're in the haven of rest, you can put your head on the pillow tonight. Lord, if I don't see you in the morning, I'll be in touch with you. If I'm not in touch with you, I'll see you. Only Savior, you know. Is he yours? Is he yours? Let's close in prayer. Let's close in prayer. I'm going to ask Tony to come up, and could you bring me a chorus, Tony? Please. Oh, there's one here. Sorry. Thank you. Well, I'll take your seat. He touched me again. If you can find out, there's a number. You touched me. Our Father, Maybe there's young lives here tonight, oh God. They're out in the rough sea of life. Oh, may they turn while the Savior in mercy is waiting and steer for the harbour light. Get rid of their sin, their rebellion, and change their destiny till they can say, we're homeward bound for glory. Father, bless us now in a special way. May your Holy Spirit touch hearts. It was for me alone, we sang tonight, the Savior left his glorious throne. My friend, if you were the only sinner in the world, Christ came into that world to save your soul. Will you confess your sin tonight? Acknowledge Jesus Christ as the only Savior and say, Jesus, I will trust you. Trust you with my soul, guilty, lost, and helpless. Only you can make me whole. Save me tonight, Lord. I turn from my sin. Touch me and change me. Father, bless us now for Christ's sake. Amen. What number is that, Tony? 51. Let's sing 51 and our service is over. We'll sing it again. Oh, my dear friends, when you see lives getting the touch of Christ, the joy filling the soul is wonderful. Number 51 in the chorus, please. Sorry. Let's all stand and lift our hearts in thanksgiving if we're saved, and come in penitence if we need to get saved.